I was just explaining that who is in a position to serve God or God in man, whom on whom he has his grace, sheds his grace. Nobody else can do the service under him, first of all. What is the criterion? That is, it is he who wants to serve him, he brings people nearer to him to serve him in his mission or at home in other affairs. You know who is attuned with Nama, the world of power, when God wishes it. Through whom, in whatever human fold, he is manifest. The manifest is God in him, gives a contact to the others, with the world and Nama, the controlling power which is already within him, by withdrawing his attention from outside. Those people who have been initiated, it is through the grace of God alone that they have been initiated. So the very fact that a man is initiated, it is his grace that he wants the children to come to him. He gives them the contact through some human pole, that whose human pole is manifest, the God in him. So the greatest service is just to be attuned, to attune yourself to the Nam power within you, the light and sound principle, which is the way back to absolute God. Now the question arises, those who are taken direct in service under him, to carry on the work in his mission, or at home, he selects who the God in him. It is not man himself can do it. And those who have been selected to work in that mission, this is his grace. Everybody is not working in the mission. Nor everybody is brought in closer contact. This is his grace. When God wants anybody to come near him, he places him in a position where he can serve him direct, at home or in his mission. So this is his grace. So who can serve God in the God in man, whom he himself wishes? The criterion is that first, when he is given Nama, initiation, that is, with his grace only the man is given initiation. Those who have been given initiation, it means they are, God wishes them to bring them closer to him. First in soul, then outward. So for that he says every day we should put in time for meditation as much as we can, so that the inner master, the radiant power of the master may manifest to him. He may talk to me heart to heart, get his guided time. This is one side. The other, outer service, is given only to such, those who are also selected by him. Those are given some work in the mission, of the work he is carrying on. Others are brought us still closer to carry another work in direct supervision, direct contact. This is all his grace that induces one to come near in him, you see. And he gives. Those who have been selected for that purpose, they are most fortunate. Sometimes we are selected for that purpose, and the service that is given to us, we think perhaps we are the master of that, you see. The little ego within us naturally asserts. He says, I am doing, you see. This is not service. The service of the master is to just carry on the work as master wishes, that is heart. By doing service at which the master is pleased, that service is alone can be called a service, truly service. Others are not service. Those are something brought nearer to the master. In one way or the other, Virago asserts He said, oh, I am carrying on this and that thing. Even that assertion result is that he is not sweet in all his affairs, you see. He'll assert, then he will command. He doesn't take himself to a puppet in the hands of the master. There should be selfless service always. So those who have been selected for the service of the master, in one way or the other, to carry in his work here, anywhere, under his direct supervision, you see, are those who have been selected to work quite nearer to him, more nearer to him. This is his grace, the God in him. So God, those people only can serve God or God in man whom God wishes. Those who have been selected, it means that the God's special grace are there. But what we do, you see, when you are brought together, we sometimes take it up as a business question for compensation, in one way or the other. The result is that our master used to give one instance, just like when a cow, when it comes to the cow, you see, when it comes nearer the cow, just so all his milk, you know, let loose. Whereas those near, live near him, they just suck the blood on the, what you say, the milk outside, the bag of the milk in the cow, you see. They simply squeeze the blood, suck the blood, not the milk. They don't drink the milk. So it means what it is. If we want to serve the God in man or God, it can be done only through his grace. If he wishes, nobody else can do it. If one is brought in that connected, he has been selected to do like that, it means that God wishes him. It is his grace that he has been selected. When you are selected for one purpose, then do it joyously, quietly, lovingly, selflessly. Thank God that you have been selected for that job. You are brought in that time. Arrangement to carry on the work. It is his grace. So first of all, he should be true to the master within him. When he sees he is within me, he is always afraid of not to do anything which is wrong, which is against his wishes, whether in his presence or in his absence. This is one thing. As he will go on like that, he will always thinking of the master. The result will be, as you think, so you become. By and by you will find that it is he who is working in me and not I. St. Paul said, it is Christ, it is I, it is not, no I, it is Christ lives in me. It is the ultimate goal. Now the point is, who have been, those who are they who are selected for the carry on the work of the service under the Master, whom the God has his grace. I mean intention, grace, his grace there. Those who have been selected, they should be thankful that they have given that service. They should carry it selflessly. Always thinking that he is serving the God in him, the God in man. Because he is who has just selected you for that purpose. You see? So the criterion it is that you have been given initiation, that you have brought closer in a near circle, and then you are just given some job to do under the master. This is election, this is a special grace. We should prove or derive full benefit. We should prove worthy of the job, you see, and also derive full benefit from the job we have been given. Only that we can do by doing selflessly, as a mere puppet in his hand, what he sees. So any service done with the will and pleasure of the master, in which there is no self-assertion, that bears fruit and fulfilled. Those who have been selected for this service under him, it is special grace of God in them. They should be thankful for that. Otherwise, even by the living nearer to the Master, also you shall not bear fruitful. You simply go at once. So this was the subject today, that those who have been initiated by the God in man, this is with His grace only, and not no one else. So he should dwell that by observing grammar of precautions, restrictions, you see, so that he may dwell within, go within and meet the radiant form of the Master within, talk to him heart to heart. This is one side. And sometimes we are selected for that job. What is this job? To bring all children of God together. To prove yourself as an example to the other people. You see, an example is better than precept. You have been given one job. Do this job, please. In this mission, here or anywhere, or in the direct context. So those who have been selected for that purpose, they are most fortunate. But they should perform those duties with no assertion of ego in them, just to please the Master. Selfless and no compensation in return. It is for him to give what he wishes, which is what man is fit for, and what he thinks best for him. So when you do service of such a God in man, naturally, you the compensator, what compensation you can give, he will bring you back first for the outer work, then united with God forever. This is the criterion to know those who are brought to quite in closer contact. They are more fortunate. So if the God in man wishes, you see, he doesn't love each one of you. He wishes good of yours, then I think it is God that wishes good of you. So you know, follow what is what, you see. Those who are initiated with the special grace of God, the purpose is our soul must go back to the feet, to the lap of the Father, through the light and sound principle which emanates from the Absolute God. The other is when he is selected for some job, that is his special grace further on the man to carry out the work. So those who want to just bring him just nearer to him, he gives him some job to do. He gives him some duty to perform. If he does it selflessly with no ego within it, that bears her fruit. When he sees that everything goes on according to my will or pleasure, then naturally you are one with him. You have got no will of your own. His will is your will, and his will is God's will within it. That's all. So be thankful, each one of you who have been initiated first, that will be given a way back to Absolute God. One thing, when he has selected you for some particular duty or some duty, you are still more fortunate. But perform it with full faith, devotion and selflessness. He will give you what? He will give you his own place. Then he went down. Sixth Guru, Guru Hargobind. So he asked somebody to recite Japji, that is one part of the Guru Granth, of the Sikh literature, you see. He said, who will recite this particular part of the literature with one single-minded attention? He give him what he likes. But sensei, without any single minded, with no other attention, intention or any thought coming in, intruding with him. So one man started, you see, came here. He began to recite that the verses of Japji. When he went on single mindedness, when he reached to the end, you see, he thought it very beautiful. Heart has come to him. Master, if you give me that, you see, quite at the close of the that are the scriptures, in that part of the scripture, that he just woke up. And the master gave him, let you have that horse. And he told him, well, look here, had you not wanted this, I would have given my seat. You follow me? Those who do selflessly, with single-minded attention, he wants everyone be to his own self, you see, bring you to one with himself, you see. So those who want something, that has been given, of course, but the selfless servants of Master is the highest, I mean, good fortune, I would say. But who does it? Whom God wills, who sends His grace. So you are fortunate, who have been initiated, first of all. Those who have been selected for the job under this, for his mission or direct contact, they are still more fortunate. But mind that there should be selfless. There should be no assertion of self. I am this. For this little thing, you see, you simply instead of deriving good, full good, you derive very little good or no good. So be thankful that you have been given education and you have been selected, though they have been selected for their vertical purpose of carrying on his mission or expanding his mission, that is, they are still more fortunate. Those who derive full benefit sometimes doing service, you think we are above the master. You may be as good as the master, that's another thing. You cannot be above the master. In the assumption of yourself, we sometimes go so far. The result is, he doesn't derive full benefit. We may be as good as master, that's all right. We cannot be above master. Servant is servant, and Lord is Lord. If he doesn't accept him for his service, then can you force him? That's one of the reasons why even by having initiation we do not derive the full benefit of what we want. Even by living closer to the master, even then we don't derive the full benefit. But it is for him to select, to give whatever he likes best, you see. He was just reading, you see, something about righteousness, you see. Saint Augustine was asked, what he wanted to know God. It was Zoroaster, I mean, not Saint Augustine. He said, righteousness. And people asked him, what is it? What define righteousness? What is righteousness? He said, good thoughts, good words and good deeds. The whole thing depends on your attention also to what is called, you see, which is the outward expression of soul. Wherever you keep it engaged, attached, always those very thoughts should be reverberating within you. We have to make the best use of the things, of course, but we are not to be attached. If only we can just attach our soul with something higher within us, that is within us. But if our attention is just diverted to the outgoing faculties, so much so that it becomes identified with the outer things, what is the result? You cannot withdraw your attention from there. It's the whole question of attention or sort. Is it to keep it engaged in outside things or invert and attach it to you, your over self. So for that you see we are driven away outside to the outgoing faculties. Audition, hearing, smelling, taste and touch. See, the five outgoing faculties working through five physical outgoing outlets. So unless these are withdrawn from outside, are closed, not to receive any impression from outside through these outgoing faculties, only then you can have some awareness of your own self, and also you can contact the higher self within you. That is God within you, the light is something. So what is righteousness? Not to be attached to outside, but to make the best use of all outer things. You are not to leave the world, of course, but you have to make the best use of this outer thing. Suppose you go to a garden, you enjoy it, all flowers, all plantations, woodness, I mean meadows, enjoy it the whole day. Nobody will question you. But the very moment you cut the flowers, or anything do like that, then the God in charge will take you to task and put it to jail, you see. So we are here to make the best use of all outer things, but not to be attached. Make these things as stepping stones to reach your higher self, you see. If your addictions are given up, become identified with any enjoyment outside, so much so that you cannot even withdraw from that, then that is what would be the result. How can you invert and have that contact within you, with God, which is given at the time of initiation? So this outer faculty should be under our control. Whenever we like, we may make the best use of them. If not, they should not drag us away. So it is the master, if you obey him literally, then he will make you the master of your own home. The outer faculties should serve as your servants, not as your masters. Now they drag you away, whether you wish it or not. So whatever you do, 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, a month or two, naturally that becomes habit. Habit is strengthened into nature. And naturally you want to go somewhere else and you are attached somewhere, your mind goes that way, your feet may be going the other way. So you follow what is needed. The God is within you. Unless you withdraw from your outside, how can you contact? So if you are tied to outside things, you cannot be dark outside. So you go out of this building. You are the same. When you leave this body, you are not changed, you see. You are what you are now. After leaving the body, you cannot become a learned man. You are tied here, even now while you live in the world, you are tied to all of your attention over there. Where will you go? Where you are tied? When you leave the body, then where will you go? Where you are attached? So, where should we attach ourselves? Soul is a conscious entity. It should be attached to the old self, all consciousness, even in life. Then, when you remain in the world, even then you won't be attached to the world. You will be in the world, yet out of it. When you leave the body, leave the body, you will go to the feet of the Lord. That's all. So we must have control on all our outward faculties. We should be able to use it when we require, not drive outside. So for that reason, this diaries are intended. There's nothing more like that. You must know where you are attached. Suppose you have given some contact within with the grace of God. You see light of God within you, you have the sound principle. That is more attractive, of course, when you have turned your whole attention to that. That will, just like touchstone, that will drag you. But when that very thing you see attached outside, how can? Even those who are given the gift of contact to the Lord within, if they don't care for keeping their self-restraint, I would say, first it is to require self-restraint, and the other is only then you can have some control of yourself and then direct your attention wherever you like. So first thing is to see above all, but true living is still about truth. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. remain where you are. You must judge yourself where you before we are here now. You'll find some of the initiates make progress too. But they don't keep their daily self-introspection. The result is they leave off their practices and they are attached to outside things, one or the other. The result is slowly dashing what he sees before that is all stopped. But in the eyes of him, he is very straight. But within his own self, he is just, what you say, not true to one's own self, not to the God within him, one thing. What's the result? He weeps inside, but in the eyes of him, he is a very good man. Really, he is not. But the God sees within us what he is. This is most necessary, as I told you. Our life should be of self-restraint, good character. You see, love God. God is within all, love all humanity. For the sake of the love of God, you love all others. If you forget the Lord, then you are attached. Where will you go? Where you are attached. Now you see how important it is to remain of self-restraint. Make use of anything when you want. See, now we are dragged. You see? Irresistibly to outright sense. You have to live in the world and live quite detached. When you want to use one faculty, use it, then when you live it. It is not so with us now. For that purpose we are given contact within with the light and sound principle within us. When you get more bliss there, let your outward attachments are cut off. Apparently you may be living in the world, eating, drinking, this and that, but you are not attached to the world. You are only making the best use of the world. Just as a man when he goes to the garden, he enjoys everything. Then he returns, if he wants. Any time. So similarly you will find it is most important to have such a heart which is tied to God, not to the world. If you take poison, of your master used to say poison, that creates trouble within the, within us. He cries. But what he should do? He should stop eating any more poison, so that the other may be clear. But he cries, all the same he continues taking more poison. What is it? This poison comes through the outward faculty from outside. We receive impressions from outside through eyes, through ears, through the tongue, through smelling, through touch. So we must have a life of self-restraint. Only such a man can progress from day to day. By regularity, you see, and also by self-introspection. It's most important. The very soul, the outer expression of which is called conscious attention, our soul. If that is the nature outside, how can you see within? No, I cannot see. That's too bad. If I have too much attached out, how can I would not dare and even care to look at the back. Unless I turn my face from this side and look the other, only then I can see them. So same thing is if we invert our attention within, only then we can see. It is there already waiting for us. Those who are initiated, they are given something, some capital to start with. By regular practice and self-introspection, self-restraint, we have to develop it more and more from day to day. When you get more bliss there, naturally in the world you remain, but you are not attached. So we should see where we stand, where we stood before, 2 years back, or a year back, where we now stand. Generally, we see that we are better before, not now. Why? We should progress. I have seen some initiates, they have made some progress, but still they have dwindled back. Only for this reason. So one must be true to one's own self. God is within you. The Guru or the Master power is within you.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was from the Morning Talks recordings given on November 23rd and 24th, 1967. Our reader this morning is Kurt Hilger. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, David.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay, the reading this morning is called It is a Noble Search, and it's from the January 1971 issue of Satsandesh. The truth and God are one and the same thing, the nature of which is not compound, but is a single substance. Permanent, unchangeable, ever-existent, which does not revolve in cyclic evolution. When that God or truth came into expression, creation took place, whereas that which remains unexpressed is nameless, formless, absolute Godhead, into which one must become fully absorbed to experience. When he expressed himself, God said, "From one I shall become many." We have, the source was one, but millions of rivulets issue from it. The power which was expressed, the God into expression power, is called Nam, words, Kalma, Sarosha, Nad, and various other terms, and can be apparent in creation. The world we see is God's own image. His image is apparent, but it can be seen when in the human form alone, wherein the full realization can take place. When we become the true seers of the Lord, we are then fully competent to sing His praises. All masters have declared that seeing is above all else, otherwise it is much like licking someone else's empty plate. Whatever the masters have described is true. There is no doubt, but we have not seen it. Listen to the words of the Sant. He says whatever he has seen with his own eyes. Their information is not from theory or from hearsay, and although their message is for all, only sincere seekers will reap the full benefit from them when their spiritual eyes are opened to see the truth within. A certain Muslim fakir says, "O man, outwardly you seem to be a small human form, but inwardly you are a great being with the whole world inside you." He refers to the fact that the great macrocosm is in the microcosm of the human body. While the God-realized masters were on earth, the work flourished. But when they left, the schools and colleges were formed, the labels of which we wear. These religions were begun with noble purpose, that people would be able to realize the Lord, and in the olden days only those who had realized the truth were allowed to preach. Only after many years of meditation did they go about from place to place, awakening the souls. As time passed on, for want of practical people, the same formation stagnated and resulted in deterioration. It is unfortunate that since paid preaching started, much of religion has become corrupted. The basic truth remains the same, of course, but it has been forgotten. There is some indication, no doubt, in the different holy scriptures and some flashes in the prayers, which are repeated outwardly. We also go on lighting lamps and ringing bells, which are symbols standing for the light of God and music of the spheres. But we do not actually receive anything. That is why we should sing praises only after seeing the truth, not like a man who, blind from birth, tries to describe the light of the sun by what others have told him. Kabir Sahib says, "The whole world is blind." It is a very sweeping remark, and he adds, "If there were only a few, then I would make them understand." Swamiji Maharaj says, "The Guru says the whole world is blind. No one has gone inside." When the masters say that man is blind, it does not mean that he has no eyes in his head. Do not say that he who has no eyes is blind. He is blind, O Nanak, whose inner eye is not open to see. If that eye through which the Lord is seen is not open, then all are blind. So after getting this human birth, we must have the aim to realize God. We must go toward Him for a start. We may have read philosophy or have probed into intellectual findings in every field of study. We have done this and we have done that, but we have not seen reality. The masters say, however, and with great authority, we have seen the truth. Where? In the very physical image, which is the temple of the Lord. With great clarity, they make this statement. Have you ever thought about this subject? You think of many things, but have you considered the matter of your true self? He who has made this house gave the key to the Guru. When that power withdraws, we also have to leave the body. O Nanak, through the Naam, everything is controlled. It can be acquired only through great destiny. The controlling power can be realized in the very temple of God, within which it is radiating in effulgent light. Those who realized the Lord realized Him in the form of light and sound principle. Yet ultimately, God is nameless, formless, there is no light, etc. Out of His expression came forth a vibration which has the two aspects of light and sound. These are the true image of God, to be realized while on earth, but only after we realize who we are. Practically, this is done when our senses are controlled, the mind is at a standstill, and the intellect immobile. It is a practical science. If one attempts any spiritual practice, with the aid of the mind and senses, when one is actually already strongly under their influence, then how will one be able to rise above them? It is most necessary to find a person who has himself risen above these faculties and can give a demonstration of that. He who has controlled his attention by giving a little of it to others will withdraw their attention from its place, playing ground, scattered among the outer environment. By giving a boost and a way up and out, the student will begin to know a little of what he truly is. When he sees himself in truth, he will see that God is also present, who is the sustainer of our very life. And he will see Him in the form of light and sound principle. Reading, writing, and reasoning is like a garland adorning the neck of a spiritual man, for he will explain the spiritual science in many different ways. Yet even if he has no academic learning, he will still show you the truth. When Bhule Shah went to Shah Inayat, who was a gardener, he asked him, "How can one get God?" Shah Inayat replied, "It is not difficult to realize God. Just uproot your attention from here and plant it there." It is very clear that that which we have to uproot from outer pursuits is our very attention, which is the expression of the soul, and then we must direct it inwardly. Then we shall be able to see inside. It is a matter of withdrawing from the body and outward environment. The holy scriptures are records of the past master's experiences in this human form, that we might understand that there is light and sound within man. And when this revelation is had by the grace of some competent person, we see that the body is the temple of God, after whose model the outer temples were made. Then the purpose of the outer temples has been served. Little girls learn about adult life and housekeeping, etc., by playing with dolls and other toys. But when they grow up and marry, they live these actions instead of playing make-believe, and the toys are put aside. Similarly, outer religious rituals are outgrown when the inner spiritual experience is received. It is not experience for the eyes of flesh. O Nanak, that eye is different which sees the Lord within. If even one man has seen, then it is significant that others can also see. Who can make the light visible within? He whose soul is joined to God, who has withdrawn from outer environments and has become the attention itself. His one glance can have inconceivable effect upon us, because we are a drop of that ocean of all consciousness. If man becomes in tune with all consciousness, what a tremendous power will that be, when he who has become all conscious directs that consciousness for a while. Not one, but hundreds of souls will rise above the body consciousness. One fakir has said, "One glance of yours is enough to take me beyond." To find our true self, does it mean that we are lost? If you ask me for the truth, I would say we are completely lost. In the old Urdu primary textbook, there is an amusing story which holds a profound meaning. It relates that a man was sitting quietly on his veranda, sincerely thanking God. Some people asked what he was thanking the Lord for, and he replied, "Last night, brothers, thieves broke into my compound and stole my horse." They were amazed and said, "You have lost something valuable. What is there to be thankful for?" He replied, "You don't understand. I am thanking the Lord that I was not riding that horse, or they would have stolen me too." It is not a laughing matter. He was concerned with his own safety, not the loss of his property. He saved himself and lost the horse. But we are clutching the horse, having lost the rider. Do you understand this? The masters tell us, "You are the rider. You are not the body, or the senses, mind, intellect. It is you who are enlivening the body." When then they bring you above body consciousness and withdraw your scattered attention to prove their statement, they open your inner eye, and then you are the one who sees. The whole play of spirituality is with the attention. Where the attention is, there you are. Through putting your attention wholeheartedly on physical exercises, with a little training, you can be a wrestler of powerful strength. With your attention directed on scholastic subjects, you can become an intellectual giant. If you put all your attention on the greater attention, God, you will grow in spiritual stature. On the spiritual health depends the health of mind and body both. This teaching is for all, but most of us are still playing with toys. We are disinterested with this doll's play when we see the true form of our beloved. How beautiful must the real thing be if the imitation is so attractive. But unfortunately, while the blind lead the blind, both continue to fall into the ditch. This is a very frank talk. He who is completely competent will simply tell you to sit and see. That is all. Then, when you sit, you will forget the outer attractions. Each and every one will have some inner experience according to each individual's background. In the company of the Sant, you see the Lord within. How? The Master gave me the key to the inner door. He gives a portion of his own attention. He never says, do what I say and eventually you will get something. The true Master's words are very clear on this subject. As long as I see not with my own eyes, I cannot believe even the Guru's words. The so-called Master usually tells the seeker, follow my instructions and we will see what happens. You are in my hands, and even after death will come to me. But he never shows anything. So what is the proof of his words? Something practical must be received by the seeker. A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. This pure subject, the study of the attention, which you can call spirituality, is ever in existence. But sad to say, we are not interested in this higher knowledge. Our attention is on the body, on sensual pleasures, and on intellectual deliberation. Bookish knowledge is all wilderness. There is no way out. By reading the stories and anecdotes of the masters, we can enter a state of pseudo-intoxication. But first, we should see something of the truth, and then sing the Lord's praises. It is said, how can I have the protection of the unprotected? We are also told, know in truth, that he only is a true disciple in whom the light shines in all fullness. Such a disciple is the Guru's very image. And the Guru will say, I reside in him. The Guru is a friend who will never leave you until the end of the world, and even beyond that. The true light was given by the Master, and the Shub burned out the eyehood and attachment. When the light shines inside you, you see for yourself how the power is working, and not you. What can a poor wooden puppet do? The puppeteer is in control. It is also said, nothing happens by my efforts. Whatever God wants will occur. Also, Nanak the servant speaks when prompted. The masters speak as inspired by God. They have no ego. And when there is no ego, there is no coming and going. And no binding by good and bad karmas, which are like gold and iron chains. In the book Nam or Word, I have given many quotations to help resolve the doubts. If the doubts persist, then one should read the Vedas. In the Upanishads, it states that there is a sun in the Brahmand, the causal region, through which the sound is vibrating. The secret teachings of which Ingris Rishi gave to Krishna, the son of Devaki. Even in the Gita, in the 18th chapter, you will find that Lord Krishna told Arjuna that if he left all and came under his protection, he would give him the secret of all secrets. That secret teaching is the very same as the science of the masters. The light and sound of God is God into expression, called variously as Nam, Shabd, Kalma, Word, etc. They are names given by which to remember him. He is within all forms, but can be realized through the human form. O mind, take one name. The Satguru has given me this boon. Also, whatever is through the Naam. There is no place without the Naam. We also have, I glorify thee by any name. Some people call the Lord by the word Ram, some God, some Allah, some Wahiguru. These are all words to denote that power which came into expression, which is controlling the whole universe, and on a smaller scale is within the temple of the physical form. Just as the world was made, so was this physical form, which he made in the womb of his mother. And when he took up residence therein, he has never been separate from us, and we must come to know this very power, but we are lost in the outer search. Water is a liquid referred to by various names, Jal, Nir, Ab, Water, Pani, Aqua, and others. But to what avail is the mere repetition of the words? One must drink to quench the thirst. There is the story of a child who, during the course of learning the Persian language, was taught the words Abiya, meaning bring water. It is said that the stubbornness of a child, a woman, and a royal personage is world-renowned. When this child reached his home after the day's lesson, he felt very thirsty. So he approached his parents and said, Ab Bia. As they had no knowledge of the Persian language, they did not understand him. He stubbornly refused to speak in his native tongue, and the story tells that he died of thirst. We go on repeating, Ram, Ram, Allah, Allah, and make much ado about it, but we have never seen God. The attitude is all right, and the action is good, but we should try to understand the meaning behind all this, for the I-hood will not be erased this way. If the soul is a conscious entity, then its food must be something conscious. And the expression of the Lord, which is light and sound, is the bread and water of life. And he who has it can give it to others. My beloved is everywhere. No place is without him. Glorify that body in which he is manifested. We can consider for a moment just how Guru Amar Das Ji worked and searched before he realized the truth. For more than 70 years, he did all that was recommended to find God. Jap, repetition of a name. Tap, strict austerities. Brat, fasting. Pujapas, devotional ritual and reading holy scriptures. Tirath Yatra, pilgrimage. Havan, fire ritual. Dan, giving alms. Kirtan, singing and playing holy music. And many other things. All were good actions, but he did not get a contact with God. Eventually he said, I am extremely tired performing these karmas. With deep sincerity, he had done all this. We approach our worship like a routine. There is an instance in the life of Namdev, whose grandfather was a devotee of idols, and would daily take milk as an offering. Everyone was familiar with his daily journey to the temple with the milk, and he would say, I'm going to take the milk for the gods to drink. One day he had some affairs in another town, and he called Namdev and told him, you do the puja and take the milk while I'm away. The child knew that his grandfather took the milk for the gods, but did not know that his grandfather himself drank the milk, according to the custom. So the following day, Namdev performed the puja, and then placed the milk before the idols. He closed his eyes and prayed that they may accept the offering of the milk. But when he opened his eyes, the milk was still there. Again he prayed, but the milk remained. He wondered why they were not drinking it. I am telling this story to illustrate the difference between a prayer by routine and a true prayer. Namdev then said to the idols, "Every day you have been drinking the milk. What has happened today?" On receiving no reply, he became very unhappy and bothered and cried, "If you don't come and drink the milk, then I'm going to cut my throat." And he took out his dagger. At once the Lord appeared and drank the milk. Our prayers are more like a business, or an automatic action of going through the ritual, with the mind wandering away on other matters. The very reason for the erection of idols was to help the devotees concentrate on the Lord. They were not placed there for people to worship the stone. A certain Muslim fakir said, "Never say that the Kaaba is better than a temple, where statues symbolize God are worshipped. Kaaba Sharif is for Hazrat Ibrahim, Ajar ul Aswad stone is kept in his memory, and Muslims go there to pay their respects." In the Hindu temples, the idols are stone images of past masters. One master was asked which was better, and he replied, "Wherever he has manifested himself is the best place. He is residing within you, who are a very temple of God, and that lamp, which is the light, can go on lighting others." The company of such masters is called satsang, the company of the truth. So after a long, long search, Guru Amar Das Ji said, "I was extremely tired performing these karmas. He felt almost defeated at the end. So how did he get to the truth?" He says, "Without any effort of mine, I found the Satguru." If the search is there, then God, who sees everything, makes the arrangements himself for his child to meet the true master. When he got the contact within, he said, "Without good luck, you cannot get such a Satguru, and also, when you meet a Satguru, you see with your own eyes." So listen carefully to Guru Amar Das's Shabd. "An initiation that holds no seeing will have no meaning. If by merely saying the word wealth one were to become wealthy, then there would be no poor people. Wherever one goes, people are advising that God's name should be repeated in one form or another. Everyone is saying, 'Repeat the Lord's name.' But without seeing, how can you meditate on Him? One person sees and then speaks, and another speaks without seeing. There is great difference between the two. Nam power has two aspects, light and sound, the connection to which is given only by a God-realized man. It is the very water of life. You will remember when Jesus met the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well, he asked her for water to drink. But knowing that Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, she was reluctant to serve him. Christ observed that had she known who he was, she would have herself asked him for the living water. He told her, 'Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that concludes the reading this morning. Thank you, Master, for providing this.
And thank you, Kurt, for reading for us. Could you tell us again what you were reading?
Yes, David. This was from the January 1971 issue of Satsang Desh, and it was entitled, It is a Noble Search.
Thanks. We had 77 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.